Welcome everyone back to the show. It has been a while, but I am finally back, and with me is a good friend of mine. If you guys remember, he has been on the show before to talk about his video game. I have my buddy Martin. He is, I guess you could say, the head developer, the founder, the owner of Amber Drop. And if you guys remember, Try to Fall Asleep is the game he's been working on and has been making progress with, and I will be sure to link everything down with that game in the notes. You guys can check it out, especially if you're a PC gamer. Yeah, say hi.
Hello there. The most original intro ever.
Yes, I know. Super original. But yeah, I mean, how is your game going, by the way?
Right now it's been doing pretty good. Recently, MatBad has done a few streams on it, so that has been kind of exciting to watch. And right now we're working on more stuff on it. You know, new levels, maybe new characters. So
good. Yeah.
Overall, it's going pretty good.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I saw the first stream you did. I still need to watch the second one, but it's awesome the game is getting attention from big YouTubers. That's hopefully a reassuring sign as to how it's going.
Yeah, like, for me to, like, watch someone as big as MatPat do, like, a live stream on my game, it is kind of really weird, because, like, at this, like, it is really cool, but at the same time, it's kind of very terrifying, because, like, at any moment, there could, you know, pop up a bug that you haven't noticed.
Right.
And, like, when it shows up on the stream, it's, like, it hurts. It's, like, it's kind of very embarrassing, but, yeah. But there, it is awesome nonetheless.
Yeah. No, it's. I mean, that's, I guess, part of the process. And, you know, to be fair, you have not, like, it's still, I guess, in early access, as I guess, as you could call it. So, you know, it's to be expected from anyone with that.
Yeah. And we only have, like, three active people working on our project. And, I mean, for the three people to pull off something like this, I mean, I'm very proud of my team and what we've been able to, like, pull off. So, And we're with every update, we're getting better and we're fixing a lot of stuff, listening to the community, and yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, I know that. You know, I've been really excited about it, and I always try to share it, you know, to anyone that comes across, like, you know, Discord servers or whatnot. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what you guys bring out in the future. Really, you know, having a lot of fun watching you guys develop, and so cool to always see that stuff. I guess go viral on YouTube, as you could say. I guess from here, you know, by the title of the episode, you're probably wondering, where's the Evangelion talk? So we want to give you guys, and just, you know, just for the fun of it, really, talk about, just a general spoiler-free. So if you've not seen Evangelion, you're more than welcome to stick around. We're not going to spoil anything. In fact, I guess the goal of this is almost, you know, to be to get you to watch it, because both Martin and I, we can, you know, kind of as an understatement, we love the show. Just a general discussion about it. We're also going to talk a little bit about anime in general as, like, a subject. It's definitely a touchy subject, especially here in the States, just because it's kind of the new thing, but it's still taboo, very much so. And it's very, I would say, looked down upon by American society.
American society.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it is worldwide, you know. I do not pay much attention to, like, you know, how is anime perceived in Japan. I have heard that some people aren't in Japan are not very, you know, they don't like it. And then, you know, who knows around the rest of the world how it's perceived. But, yeah, like, in America, it's kind of like how back in the day it wasn't cool, or, like, you'd get made fun of or picked on for, like, liking, you know, being a nerd, playing video games or liking Star Wars, you know, for example, stuff like that. I feel like anime is the new kind of version of that. And because of that, though, I feel like anime is going to be mainstream in, like, soon as in, like, the next 20 years. Just because, like, I don't know. I guess if history repeats itself, it's going to be really uncool and taboo. People are going to get made fun of watching it. And then the more people are exposed to it, and the more like people actually realize, hey, this is actually a pretty interesting, animation style. And there's a lot of like really good stories, in this genre that have been developed over the years. There's actually some good content, to watch. And I think that's just going to evolve into becoming a mainstream thing that's just, just as any regarded as any other, animated style. So I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about that? Just anime overall, as at least in like the public side. Of course, you have a completely different perspective living in Latvia, but yeah, at least that's how I view it in America.
Yeah, I mean, well, relative to the U.S., Latvia is like on the opposite side of the globe, and over here in Latvia, we pretty much have like the same situation with like anime. Some people really dig it, and then some people, they're absolutely not into it, and they're sometimes really against it. Because like there's like a pretty heavy dogma that like, oh, if you watch anime, that means you're like, emo and you're weird and all that stuff.
Right. You're a weeb. You're a degenerate.
You're a weeb for liking Chinese cartoons. But the thing is, like, that's another big thing that like people say is that, oh, it's just like, a Japanese cartoon. What's so special about it? But the thing is, like, animation, it can be meant for adults as well. And I do not mean like hentai or like really adult.
Right,
content.
Right. Yeah, like actually like pornography. Yeah, like no, like intended for like, like essentially rated PG-13 or rated R,
Yeah. Even like PG-13, that's like, there are like adult themes going on. A lot of interesting weird concepts that, younger audiences would not be able to understand.
Right.
And there are some like pretty heavy material that should not be seen by, younger audiences.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like would you show, would you show your second grader, Family Guy? No, I wouldn't show my second grader, Family Guy necessarily, like, and it's the same thing. Well, like, we're going to be talking about Evangelion. It's maybe going to start to crack, the nut on this thing for people that haven't, aren't really exposed to it. A younger audience wouldn't be able to understand the themes and like the themes and a lot of stuff out of Evangelion, because it's just one of those things that, it takes, what would you call it? Just knowledge or experience to like understand like the philosophical standpoint it's coming from.
Well, I wouldn't say that you like have to like study Greek mythology.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Right. No, that's not what I'm trying to. Yeah. I don't know if I'm getting my point across well, but like a younger audience just wouldn't be able to grasp the concept is, I guess, the best way I can put it.
Yeah. I think maybe some teens wouldn't be able to do that as well, because like there are a lot of things that you only understand when you get older. And that, again, not meaning hentai and adult stuff.
Right. No, no, no.
But
yeah.
Like, what it means to be like, human as an individual,
yeah,
living on your own, trying to find your character in like the big world.
Exactly.
That we're living in.
Yep.
And also like, let's talk a bit about the Neon Genesis Evangelion, is that it talks about these subjects on a very deep level, and it explores many archetypes, which are very different from one another, and it kind of gives you a cool insight, into,
yeah,
personalities and all that great like subject.
Oh yeah,
stuff.
It really is a like you said, it really gives great insight and goes really deep into like the themes of like, what it means to be a human, which is actually a similar theme to Blade Runner with the replicants. Well, that was like a huge theme explored in both the original and in 2049, where, are replicants human? What is a human? Can other, beings that aren't maybe necessarily, created naturally, through like the human reproductive process, right? Like these replicants are essentially made. but like, are they, can they still feel like a human and like understand humanity? And a lot of, and you know, it's not necessarily created through like that, or I guess Evangelion doesn't, you know, go for it in like the replicant format. It tells a story through like actual humans, even, you know, as well as the mechs you see, which are called Evas, in the show,
the giant robots,
which are giant robots. And if you watch, you know, the show, you'll discover and like, you'll, you know, understand why the robots have such a large part to play with, like trying to understand what humanity means. It's that, you know, that's the furthest I'll go into that. But, yeah, it you know, it explores that same idea of, okay, well, like, what is a human? You know, what can a human, you know, feel or accomplish, I guess, as well. So, you know, that's a pretty, I guess, and it, like you said, it goes really deep into it. But I guess, you know, maybe bouncing off of that, overall, you know, for Evangelion, how would you like describe the show, just to kind of, you know, give people who have no idea what it is? I mean, how would you kind of introduce it to someone?
Well, this is certainly a pretty tough thing to do, mainly because like the show can be pretty, you know, complex in a good way. But I'd say it's, if you like Blade Runner, you kind of like the themes that go on there, like, you know, what Tristan just said, and also like if you enjoy like visuals and stuff, yeah. There's also you'll find some enjoyment in there. It's basically a pretty epic story.
It is. It's essentially an epic told in 26 episodes plus a movie.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say it would be a, like, in terms of like which anime you should watch first, I wouldn't say it would be a like first good anime to watch if you're not way too into, you know, Blade Runner and anime in general. You should probably be, you know, it would be a better idea to start off with like, you know, a Death Note anime series or Cowboy Bebop. Those are like maybe a bit more popular. Like, yeah. And they're like a bit easier to understand in that regard.
No, Evangelion definitely covers a niche, the same one that Blade Runner does. So if you really like philosophical sci-fi, I mean, that's what Evangelion screams, is philosophical sci-fi. Like, if you want something that's going to make you think, and it's going to, like, you know, go into themes and, like, go really deep into, like, what it's trying to accomplish and do, you know, it does it well, does it really well, then, like, this show is for you. But if you're not so much, like, if that's not the type of stuff you like, which is perfectly fine, you know, like I said, it's a niche thing. If you like just straight up, like, more, like, Western or, like, just, like, more, like, pop culture, you know, stuff, like Martin said, Death Note and Cowboy Bebop, from what I've heard, I've not watched those shows. So, you know, who knows? Maybe those shows go really deep one direction, too. You know, I couldn't tell you. Those are good. Really good ones to start out with. But from my personal experience, actually, Evangelion was the first anime I ever watched. So that...
Yeah, it worked out pretty good for you.
It worked out really well for me. Just because, you know, if you guys have heard me talk about Blade Runner in the past, it's kind of... 2049 is my favorite movie of all time. So, like, the fact that this is, like, you know, kind of the same... has the same ideas in them, it's really, obviously... It makes my it just works for me really well, so yeah.
Also, Neon Genesis was my first anime as well. Like before that, I had not seen like anything. Like I've only seen like clips, but like not a full show.
Right.
Until then, I also still had that, you know, perception of anime of being like this weird thing. But then my friend, you know, invited me over and we watched, and he showed me like the entire show. We basically binged in one evening.
Yeah.
Okay, in two evenings.
Yeah.
But in those two evenings, my like perception about like anime went like 180 degrees, because like it opened up like so many like perspectives I hadn't like noticed before.
Yeah.
And yeah, now I think about like that all think completely differently, which is like, which is, you know, respectable for like a show to do that, like completely like kind of change your mind about something.
Oh yeah.
And make you look at it differently.
Absolutely. And like, to speak from like my personal experience, I guess talk about like how I got into anime. So actually, and you know, this might be something people can relate to as well. So in high school, a lot of the people that were watching anime weren't exactly like, they were kind of the really far out kids, and like, there's nothing wrong with that. But like, they were watching, at least in my high school, there was an anime called Bleach, which is really popular. And like, I'm not trying to speak out against Bleach or like saying I hate it. I've never seen it, but like, they all, you know, were watching Bleach, and they were all being like very obsessive, very like that's all they would talk about. They would like make sure you knew about like them watching it. And like, they were being like really weird and emo about it. And that really, I guess, gave me a really bad first taste of anime. I was like, why would I watch anime? Like, if that's what it's gonna like, you know, if that's the audience it's catering towards, is like people who are just gonna be, you know, really emo and like really just rowdy and in your face. I'm like, I'm not gonna watch it, because that's not like, just no, that's not what I'm, you know, trying to get out of my entertainment. However, you know, I gave it a few years, kind of was, you know, kind of whatever about anime. And then I started hearing, you know, I started getting, you know, Evangelion recommended to me, like, oh, like dark, psychedelic, sci-fi, thriller, you know, all those things. Like, yes, like Evangelion is your show, like you should watch it. And I was hesitant. I was like, I don't know, you know, I haven't had a really a good taste, you know, from what I've, you know, experienced with anime, but I'll give it a shot. You know, two episodes in, I'm like, okay, this actually, you know, isn't bad at all. And then the show, Evangelion, just gets better and better and better and better and sucks you in more and more. And I was like, oh my god, you know, my perception on anime has completely changed. I just completely turned myself off to, like, this very unique style of storytelling. And I don't know if that's just unique because Evangelion is super unique, but the storytelling that gets, like, accomplished in Evangelion is something to behold. You know, the character development, you know, I guess you could say, like you said, the visuals, it all meshes together in like perfect unison. And if you appreciate that, if you appreciate the art of storytelling and you like stuff like animation and like cinematography, like this show is gonna, yeah, and the score is just fantastic. Like this show, that's when it, like, that's where it's at its strongest, is like if you like those things. But speaking of the characters, you know, I just want to like get a, you know, just the audience maybe can get like a general first impression, like which characters stood out to you the most and which ones like were your favorite, or you can even talk about your least favorite characters and why.
Well, okay, so I don't want to spoil too much if anyone decides to watch it themselves.
Yeah, let's keep it spoiler free here.
But I'll say there's like a character that comes in later in the series, like around a third or halfway in, and she's basically another, like a pilot who pilots these giant robots.
Yep.
And she's from Germany, and her name is like Asuka.
Asuka, yeah.
And at first, she appears to be very arrogant, narcissistic, and at first you don't really connect with her because like she's literally a jerk to anyone, you know.
Right.
She feels like she's above everything, and she acts like she is, and she's also like acting like she's older than she is.
Right.
But then later in the series, it's like explained why she is like, how, you know, the show kind of dives deep into her character and explains why she's so, you know, narcissistic, arrogant, why it's so important for her to be above everyone. And I think that's like one of the like cool things about the show, is that like each thing has a meaning and it all makes sense. Like if a character does something, you can understand why it does that. Like, and the show does a really good job of like explaining that, and also like diving in deep into the backstories of the characters, because each character also has a pretty tough backstory, is you know, as far as like media is concerned.
Yeah. If just summarize all the characters, they all have, you know, very messed up backstories. Not like they did bad things, but more quite the opposite. Very bad things. They all come from a point of like hardship, essentially.
Yeah, like, bad things happen to them, and they just happen to be caught up in them.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, from that perspective, too, like, you know, everyone has had, you know, something really bad happen in their past. It, like, affects them daily. Not daily, but affects how they are now. And, like, that theme is very much explored in this show. So, again, it really, it's deep. Like, it's a gut punch of a show, you know. Fair warning. Fair warning.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah,
for a first anime, you know, viewer.
Yeah. But oh yeah, you want to keep on going on, or do you want me to like talk about some characters?
No, that's like my favorite character. Okay. Because like, I mean, there have been like that sort of archetypes before. I mean, I've seen like that kind of archetypes before in other like movies or shows.
Yeah.
They never like really dive into like why they are like, you know, so jerk-like and, you know, narcissistic. And that's what I kind of really loved about this show. It's like, finally a show that, like, explains what, you know, a person is like that. And that, to me, was like, oh, yeah, that kind of, you know, was enlightening, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
So, what about you? What's your, you know, favorite character?
So, I think that the Ikari duo, you know, both the father and the son, especially, you know, Shinji, obviously, he's the main character of Evangelion, you could say. I think watching kind of, like, their parallels, I guess, because even though they're father and son, they're in their own completely different worlds, essentially. Like, you know, there's, like, no unison, there's almost no connection besides a biological one between the two. You know, they're polar opposites. And watching, like, each one, like, having to, like, recognize that and then deal with it, as well as, you know, obviously deal with what they're doing, you know, in the show, is really, like, it's a very, you know, mind-gripping and, like, edge-of-your-seat, you know, thing to watch. And then, so yeah, those two are really, you know, just, it's, I think, really drive the show a lot. And then another character that's really important that is in the show a lot too, I think, is Misato.
Oh yeah.
yeah, she has a really like important role, and you know, her character development just gets better and better as the show progresses on. You know, like she you kind of like at up front she might seem like really like shallow and I don't know, just really like kind of like go with the flow. But then, like, more about her character gets revealed as the show goes on. And, like, you just see all the complex layers that, like, really make up all these characters. But, you know, and then, you know, how she kind of, like, deals with that. And then also, like, keeps on, I guess, she has a really important job, you know, in the show. And, like, how she still does it. It just keeps you on the edge of your seat the entire time. Which is, you know, it's just a fantastic thing to, I guess, you know, just witness. Those are really my top three characters. All the pilots are really, of course, interesting. Like, we mentioned Ashka, Shinji, and then we haven't talked about Rei at all. But Rei, of course, does play a really important part of the story.
And she's a completely different archetype from, like, Shinji and Asuka.
Yeah, the pilots couldn't be, personality-wise, more further from each other, and that's what makes it so interesting, because you have like three completely different people, like their own like moral compass, their own like philosophies, and like they're all three are kind of saving humanity alone, of course with help with Nerv, that's the, you know, the organization that basically defends humanity in the show. But like it's three people with like just three completely different, you know, wants, thoughts, and like they're all three expected to like pretty much in unison save humanity. So,
and they're 14.
Yeah, and they're young, they're like middle school, high school age kids. So like watching that burden get put onto young kids, it's a little bit depressing and sad to watch, but at the same time it makes for really, really good storytelling. and really, like, you know, it really drives the story a lot. This show is driven by characters, I would say. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally.
So if you like character-driven, you know, stories, and if you like, you know, characters the most out of, like your storytelling, again, this show is exactly that. You know, in my opinion, entertainment or storytelling is at its best whenever, like, you have character-driven, like, stories. So stuff like Blade Runner and Evangelion and Star Wars, three great examples there about where the characters are focused on. And of course, you know, the plot and the setting, it makes a huge difference too, and can, like, make or break a lot of stuff, really everything. But, you know, as long you have to really nail the characters, and this show did that, I would say.
Yeah.
And I do have to ask, which Ava is your favorite?
Ooh, I'd say I like the Enid one, which is like the purple one with like green accents.
Yeah. Yep, same. Unit 1 is it's a badass. It's, you know, it's my favorite too. But in over the show, you know, if y'all watch it, you'll see a bunch, like, there's three main Avas that are kind of there, and then there's a few more that make appearances for different reasons, you know, reasons I don't want to get into the plot about because I'd start giving it away, but you will probably form, you will form an attachment to at least one of the Avas, if not all of them.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of some moments right now that I really want to talk about. I'm not going to, because it's a huge, massive spoiler. But let's talk briefly also about the endings. So I guess to kind of summarize this, and then I definitely want to hear your opinions on each one. The anime, which is just straight up 26 episodes, has, like, you know, its own complete story from start, middle, to end. You know, complete story. The last episode is the ending of the show. However, there is a movie called End of Evangelion, made by the same creator, you know, same everything, that provides an alternate ending. And those endings are polar opposites of each other. But what do you think about each one specifically?
Yeah, like, at first it might sound, you know, bad, like, oh, two different endings and they're polar opposite. Obviously, nothing can come, you know, good out of it, right? But, like, right. I think the show's ending, with the 26, right, episodes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I speculate, it's only my, like, speculation, but I think at the time they had, you know, limited budget, so maybe they weren't able to, you know, have such a big, huge ending, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe they just decided to go on a more simpler route and do, like, that kind of ending. It's still a really good ending, and there's a lot to, you know, examine and think about. But, like, the movie, which directly ties into the show.
Right.
And basically replaces the last two episodes.
Yep.
That, like, movie is, like, brings it to the very next level.
Okay, yeah.
And they're, like, both great for their own, like, reasons. I personally prefer, like, the movie's ending, mainly because of, like, the scope.
Yeah.
Of what happens in it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, also for, like, story reasons, I think it suits it a bit better. But it's neat to have the show's ending, because it's also a great ending. Cause, and you can, like, you know, you can see both and then decide which one you like the most. And then you can, like, you know, decide which one you like.
Exactly.
And which one you don't.
Your speculation was correct, actually. They were running low on funds for the last two episodes. However, the creator of Evangelion, he did say that it was still that he still made the ending, like, to the fullest quality that he wanted to make. That's what he claimed, you know. If that's true or not, you know, I have no idea. So, Yes, they were low on funds, but he did say he gave, you know, the show the ending that he wanted it to give, his, I guess, his vision for it. However, after like lots of outcry from, you know, the fans, you know, they wanted something else. So End of Evangelion was made. And of course that provides, you know, like we said, the polar opposite endings. I mean, everything about these endings are polar opposites. Like you said, the scope, completely different. You know, what actually happens to the characters, completely different. What happens in the, you know, the like the story, yeah, completely different. They really are. And but in my opinion, they're actually they're both of equal quality. I would not say one is has higher quality than the other.
Yeah, neither would I,
I like
actually.
they're both just as good as one another, and they're both, you know, just as worth watching. And that being said, I do recommend watching episodes 1 through 26 first. Like watch the anime first and then watch the movie, which is, you know, it's also, you know, an anime. But yeah, watch the show and then the movie. It's all on Netflix, by the way, if any of you, I'm sure most of the audience probably has Netflix. So that's, you know, the way to watch it. But I can't decide which one I like more. I love that the show's ending. And you know, this is a really touchy subject with Star Wars fans, but it really kind of subverts your expectations, which is, but it does it well, and it does it in a way that is purely backed up by like logic and like off of
Sense.
previous, yeah, sense, and off of like previous like clues and like events that happened before the show. And to me, the ending of the show is just, it's absolutely brilliant in the way that it just, it will, it messes with your mind, you know, for starters. Like, oh my gosh, like it's gonna tie your brain into a knot by the time you're done thinking about it. And the movie will too, and the movie though is also really, really good. Again, just taking the complete opposite end of the hypothetical, you know, what if this happened, and then it just runs away with it. And it's equally as brilliant, and like the way that the characters, you know, are, you know, the ending for the characters and the plot, and I guess the results are also, you know, something to behold, and will also tie your brain into a knot. So I'm neutral. I love both for the like their own respective, I guess you could say, like logic and like what ifs. So I couldn't really choose one, but I will say I think that the show's ending probably messed with me a little bit more than the movie's ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like another thing to add about like the endings in the show and the whole like, franchise as a whole, like there's you can like rewatch it and find new things.
Yeah.
Because I rewatched the movie recently with Tristan when he saw it for the first time,
Yeah.
and I also noticed a few things. And there are like a lot of theories on YouTube that kind of, and that's another good thing about like the show, like you can have your own interpretation of the show.
Yep.
You don't have to like
Yep.
follow a narrative.
Exactly. It is exactly what you think it is.
Yes,
Yep.
and that's why it's so good.
Yeah, it is so good. There's so many, like you said, because in a good way, the show is so complex. There's almost like no right or wrong, you know, theory. And it's, I mean, yeah, like sure, you may get something factually incorrect, but like you could have your different ideas as to why like a character like this happened to a character or like the events ended up like how they did. Like there's like there's a lot of different theories, a lot of different like ideas, and like you can, you know, mix match, come up with your own, do whatever you want with them. And that's another really cool thing, like I said about the show. It's just it's yeah, it's awesome for doing that.
And also to add, the show has a lot of philosophies in it. I can't
Yeah, philosophies.
speak
Yeah, I know.
philosophies. For example, there's the Hedgehog's Dilemma.
Yep.
For if hedgehogs want to get warm, had to like get closer,
Right.
but because of their quills, if they get too close to each other, they might hurt each other because of their
Exactly.
quills.
Yeah, so
And
it's
like that's another interesting theme that's like running through the show, is like not only on an individual level what it means to like be you and exist, but it's like how do you live in a world with others and how do you like interact with others in a way that you don't hurt them and you can like exist with them when you don't like that, bother them or disrupt them.
That alone is a deep theme I'm sure a lot can relate to. The closer you get to someone, the more you end up hurting each other, which, oh my god, like that, you know, obviously is would just make your brain, you know, turn in circles, you know, trying to figure or just witness that happen to characters throughout the show.
And that's just one, like, philosophy. There are many throughout the show that you can, like, find.
And if you, if you like symbolism, this show has so much symbolism. From the first episode onwards.
And I think the Christians are going to love it.
Oh, yeah. It has so many, like, Judeo-Christian, like, themes and symbols from it. And, you know, that alone, even if, like, you're not, you know, a follower of that, like, religion or philosophy, like... It's just so interesting to see that incorporated. And it's not like, this show's not religious. Let me just get that, you know, make that clear. Like, this is not at all like some sort of like, you know, religious brainwash of a show. You know, it's just symbolism for like what these things are supposed to represent. And it even challenges those ideas too in the show, actually, which is really, you know, another really interesting watch, no matter which perspective or background you come from. But yeah, the symbolism in that regard. I won't say what the symbols are because that could give it away. You know, you can connect the dots once you realize, once it comes full circle. But yeah, I was actually rewatching the first episodes with my sister, and there is some symbolism there that like connects directly to the very end of the show and to the end of like the movie, which is just insane. It's just insane that connection was there from the very first episode onwards.
And a lot of foreshadowing as well.
Yeah, yeah, there is. There is indeed. You're definitely spot on about that one. But yeah, just, man, Evangelion, I guess we can... that's probably a good introduction, you know. I don't want to go too much more into detail at this point, because I feel like I've, you know, I just want to start talking about specific details. But we'll wait.
Yeah.
We'll wait, and if any one of y'all, you know, are going to give it a watch, you know, feel free to, like... you know, give us updates on like what you think of the show as you're watching it and the endings, and then we'd love to like, you know, incorporate like your thoughts, because we were planning on getting into like a spoiler review later down the line, not soon, but you know, later, especially with a new, well, okay, I'm not even gonna get into that because it's gonna make it more confusing. Just later this year we will be getting into, you know, some spoiler discussions, so we would love to like have your guys' thoughts on the show when that time comes around, if you guys choose to watch it. But
yeah,
bouncing back to like anime in general. So now that like, and you see more, you've been watching anime longer than I have.
Since last summer.
Right.
I've been
like,
watching,
and I've been watching it since like February. So, I guess mid-January, but that's kind of irrelevant. Anyways, how would you, I guess, because obviously there's so much, like, it's, like I said, very taboo, but, like, for someone that's, like, maybe even hesitant or just curious, like, how would you kind of describe anime to them to maybe get them to, like, I guess, get, just loosen up on the subject a little bit, you know, rather than just being, like, I guess, so hateful, which, you know, if you hate anime, hey, you hate anime. You know, that's fine. You know, not everyone is going to like it, obviously. It's really unique and, like, kind of, you know, specific. But, I don't know. How would you just really describe it overall?
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, anime is good, but it still might not be, you know, for everyone, even though... is it? Also, another thing I wanted to add about like anime is that it might not be like, okay, like we talked about like Evangelion, like, and that's a really great anime, but like I think one of the issues is that like it has like the quality of anime has been kind of foreshadowed by some other lower quality stuff that's out there,
right?
And I think that has kind of damaged the whole genre in a bit.
Yeah.
not saying that like whole anime is kind of, you know, it evens out. Like there's tons of great like shows and movies and other media to like consume, but I kind of feel like the bad ones have kind of, you know, put a bad rap on the whole genre. And I think that's what I kind of feel is, you know, with mass majority of like, you know, people, because like when they think of anime, but what do they think? They usually think like cute little tiny girls with like carriers and, you know, they're screaming and that stuff.
Right. Yeah.
that's like the common stereotype it for is. Anime.
And because like that type of anime is so verbal and like can easily be like used to like, you know, show how dumb anime. And yeah, there's absolutely dumb anime. Just like there's dumb anything. There's dumb, bad, like, American cartoons. There's really bad TV shows. There's really bad movies, right? Like, there's gonna be your trash in any, you know, in any genre. And there's definitely trash in anime. No doubt about it, you know. There is plenty of awful, you know, just pure shit in anime. Just the best way to describe it, quite honestly. I mean,
so, we're not anime shows here, we're also being very critical of, you know, the whole genre.
No,
and I think that's the key to your question, like, how do you get someone into anime? I think you have to try to kind of get them out of that dogma, you know, with their mindset that, like, oh, anime is just like a dumb cartoon, it has no substance for adults, and it's all about tiny girls and with cat ears. If you can get them out of that mindset, and maybe, you know, suggest, maybe, you know, maybe not Evangelion, although Evangelion could be a good, you know, suggestion depending on the
person.
You just try to get someone, you know, maybe I don't want to say enlightened, but like a different perspective.
Expose them to something that's actually good, you know, is what you're saying. Show them something that's actually worthwhile watching, you know. And Greedo and I, hello Greedo, Greedo, whatever you want to call him, I'm sure a lot of you guys being big Star Wars fans, you know, he's a YouTuber, had him on the show twice on the podcast, and, we were talking at, like, at one point, and Greedo was saying, like, yeah, like, there's a lot of shit sci-fi, you know, like, you kind of have to, like, know, and that's a lot of the thing, too, is, you know, it helps to have someone knowledgeable who, like, okay, that's a good piece of sci-fi to, like, watch or read or, like, you know, however, you know, it's whatever it is. And same thing with anime, like you said, you have to, like, you have to obviously watch the good stuff. You know, like, you're not going to get into a genre by watching its mediocre or even trashy, you know, like, you know, stuff. Like, sure, I'm a sci-fi junkie, so I'll give anything a shot, no matter how bad it is. But that's because I'm already, like, in love with the genre. But, like, you got to show people actually good, worthwhile anime if they ever want to, if you even want to hope to begin to change, you know, people's minds about it. Because there's been, a lot of really bad, you know, anime that's been exposed, you know, to, like, especially, you know, the American society, you know, American society. We live in a society, as Joker would say. But, like you said, you have to show people stuff that's actually worthwhile and, you know, it's worth watching and fun to watch, entertaining. Because otherwise, yeah, that bad stuff is always going to remain, you know, the really prevalent thing in people's minds.
Yeah, and once you can get a person to, you know, look at the thing subjectively, and once you like can pull them out of that like mindset, like if he's willing to, or her, if they're willing to, you know, give it a shot, like there's a lot of diversity in the like genre. Like,
yeah,
there's comedy, there's drama, there's psychological thrillers, you can watch detective stuff, sci-fi, of course, so there's a lot of variety you can choose from.
And that's the thing too, like know who you're obviously showing it to. Like, people that I talk to know that I love sci-fi, so shows like Cowboy Bebop and Neon Genesis Evangelion were like at the top of like what they said I need to watch. So, like, if you know, if you have, like, a buddy or, like, you know, friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever, you know, that maybe they love, you know, like, Westerns, Well, I mean, Cowboy Bebop's also could, you know, could be in that category, but show them, like, something, like, Western-related. Or, like, if you're just discovering anime yourself for the first time, like, you know, just watch an anime that fits, like, what you like. If you like dramas, well, then, you know, watch anime that's a drama. Like you said, if you like comedies, go find yourself, like, the funniest anime, you know, from recommendations and watch that. Like, that's another thing, too. Like, if someone is like, you know, a Western fan and you show them like some like romance, you know, anime, they're gonna hate anime. Like it's simple, you know, just like anything. Like if you were to, you know, like me, I'm not gonna go and like, you know, watch a bunch of chick flicks and then, you know, all of a sudden, oh my God, like I love movies and I love chick flicks. No, like that's not how it goes. You have to really start with like what you're interested in, and that's really like the way to do it.
Yeah, that's the key
So,
and the best way to do it, yeah.
yeah. So yeah, I mean, you're right on that one. And then I guess we can briefly talk about it because it's the only other anime that I've seen, and you've seen it too. Is One Punch Man, just real briefly. It's a superhero anime, essentially.
Bill Burr likes it.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it's a very would you say it's lighthearted? Oh, you there?
Yep, little internet connection issues.
Yeah. Would you say that One Punch Man is lighthearted?
Yeah, I'd say
Yeah, it's
that.
like it's not necessarily super lighthearted, but it's got a like at most of the time a lighthearted feel to it. Like a kid could watch it and you really enjoy it too, you know, like it's not anything super deep or like, you know, really hard themes to grasp. Like, no, it's essentially a guy, it's essentially Superman, but in anime. Like, he's so powerful, he can kill anything with one punch, and he's also like indestructible.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it's basically what it's about, the premise of it, and it's a lot of fun. It's a good anime. It's good. And if you like superheroes, well then, you know, that would be an anime to watch. So.
Another thing about that show is like, okay, a guy who has unlimited power can kill anyone with one punch. He cannot be killed. Like, what's so interesting about him, right? If he's unstoppable. Like,
Exactly.
that's what actually interesting about him, because like, how does someone live like that, you know?
Right.
And like, his biggest problem is like he gets bored, and it kind of beats him down that, you know, he always, when he's in a battle and he wins it, he's always disappointed, because like he wins like any battle effortlessly.
Yeah.
And like, how do you deal with that is also like, it's like a different perspective.
Yeah, it
Again.
is. It is. There's also a One Punch Man video game that just came out recently. I
I
don't know.
didn't know about
Yeah,
that.
there is. It's obviously like a fighter game. It actually looks, I've seen gameplay. I haven't seen any review, so I don't know if it's actually good or not. But from the gameplay, it looked really fun. It stays true, you know, to the show. Like all the playable characters are like, you know, heroes and villains you see in the show and stuff. So like you can play as like, you know, the hero on the bicycle, for example, is in the game. And then like Tank Top Tiger. And another thing too, this show has like really funny like hero names and like really funny ideas. You know, it's great. It's so simple but so funny, and entertaining. But like, yeah, there's just all sorts of different characters you can play as in the show, and it's like a think of like a Super Smash Bros. But like for One Punch Man, and also 3D, not 2D either. I should probably clarify. So,
3D.
3D, but yeah. On the topic of 3D, just real briefly, do they have? I'm just curious. Do they offer like 3D showings of movies in Latvia?
Mean, you mean like with glasses?
Yeah, you put on the glasses and then you.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, it's popular all around the world. I
Okay,
just
I
think
thought so, but I've always kind of hated it, to be honest. It's so
same, I
tacky,
cannot
and
stand
it obstructs your view, and I think it also kind of ruins the colors of the, because you put on the like on the lenses, everything gets darker and like just kind of like starts to blend. I'm like, oh, like come on, you know, I don't like it. It's too gimmicky.
And I have glasses, which doesn't make things easier.
Yeah, yeah. And if you already have glasses or maybe contacts, I don't know, you know, before that, it just, yeah, it's a nightmare. I avoid 3D showings of stuff like the plague.
Yeah, me too. Like, I watched The Hobbit, like, with 3D, and it was in, like, 120 frames per second. And, like, my brains melted at the end.
Oh, man. Yeah, understandable. It's just, yeah. I was going to say, that's a gimmick that I wish would just die by now. It must sell. It must be popular with kids or something. Because, like, I've just grown to hate 3D showings in movie theaters. Like, give me just normal stuff on the biggest screen with the loudest speakers, you know? Like, just give me that beautiful 4K HDR, you know, with the loudspeakers. That's all I want, man.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, oh well. That's actually a dream of mine, is to eventually, you know, if I ever, you know, become a homeowner, hopefully one day I will. Dream house requirement is an in-house theater. It's like priority over like a swimming pool or anything else like that. You'd get, you know, in a good old big American home. If that ever were to happen, you know, if I ever had the money for that, an in-home theater is like top of my list over like anything else entertainment-wise.
That's so the American dream.
Yeah, so I can like watch movies and shows and play, you know, play on my Xbox or whatever it is I have at the time, you know, in a nice big, you know, a nice comfy recliner, massive speakers, gigantic screen, and just like, you know, tune out to the world. But
and watch the Ewok movies in 4K.
Yes, watch the Ewok movies in 4K. I mean, that's the peak right there. But yeah, I don't know, man. 3D movies, not my thing. Just a random thought I had when we started talking about 3D. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything else, you know, Evangelion or anime wise that you want to like, you know, talk about or mention or monologue? I mean, go for it, man, if you want.
Well, I think a little note on like anime is that like the good thing about like vast majority of the shows, they're not relatively long. So if you're like, okay, I'll go watch an anime, but oh god, are there gonna be like 60, 90, 100, 400, 40,000 episodes?
Yeah.
No, like, vast majority of them are like 27 to like 37, maybe. Like, they're not too long, like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
For example, and each episode is not also that long. And yeah. Besides the shows, there are also like movies, which you can like watch. If you don't wanna, you know, spend too much time on a show, you can like
just watch the movie. Yeah,
watch movies. For example, like if you don't have the time to watch Evangelion, but you're really like, you know, interested in it, the movie that we talked about that ties into the show, it's actually a third movie in the trilogy. It's basically there is a trilogy that. And the first two movies, basically, they sum up the whole show from episode 1 to 24. And then the last two episodes are the big movie. So, but, I mean, up to you. We recommend that you watch the show.
Oh,
but,
yeah, I know. The show is king. Oh, my God. Like, yeah, like Martin said, up to you. But please, for the love of God, watch the show. I beg you. Yeah. I actually beg you.
If you do not have the time, then, you know, really consider it, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, the movies...
There is that option.
Because I guess there is, like, basically those movies are just, like, the episodes smashed, like, the important parts of the episodes smashed into three movies.
Yeah, but they do cut out a lot of, like,
yeah.
Character interactions, lore, and yeah. Context.
There is no filler in the show, if that's yeah. also... Like... There may seem like there's an episode or two that's filler, but like once you realize it's not filler. Like it's actually something really important, either like character development, symbolism, or even in events. Like, oh, wait a minute, that's actually really, and that's the thing. That show keeps you on your toes. It's a very suspenseful anime, for sure. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, you know, and if you do like the really long stuff, there is, you know, anime that is extremely long.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can watch, you know, I'm sure there's shows. I mean, isn't it like Dragon Ball Z? I mean, or just Dragon Ball. I mean, how many episodes between all the different variants are there? Hundreds, I'm sure. I'm sure. I haven't seen it. There's probably hundreds.
I mean, Neon Genesis is like 26 episodes. Death Note, which is also a really good like anime, it's more like a psychological one, psychological thriller. One is like, what, 37 episodes?
Don't know, actually.
Cowboy Bebop is, I think it's below, it's like 27 episodes. And each episode is like 30 to 20 minutes long. So,
yeah. Yep. So there
nice
is.
We have officially become weebs.
Yeah, I don't know. Weeb is a very relative term. To be fair, like I would not consider myself a weeb. Like I've seen all of Evangelion. I've seen One Punch Man, and I think there's really good anime, and I think there's a lot worth watching. I don't know necessarily. Like, I don't know. It just depends how you define a weeb. If a weeb means that I like anime, okay, yeah, I like anime. Consider me a weeb. But if a weeb is, like, someone who's going to, like, obsess over it and, like, you know, every time you talk to them, it's going to, like, be sure to mention something about anime, I would know. You know, count me out of that one.
No, I mean, I think, like, the term weeb is more used to like, those who are more obsessed, not only by, like, anime, but, like, people, like, would go as far as like learning Japanese, going there, yeah. You know, trying to fit in, become essentially a Japanese person.
And
yeah, that's like going a bit too much, and then you can like consider
yourself a weeb. Yeah. I mean, and like to be fair, like, you know, me, a Star Wars, you know, super fan who like has a lot of Star, I guess it's different. I'm not trying to like assimilate. I'm not trying to like go into like live in Star Wars or something like that. Like, okay, I mean, I think there's a fine line, you know. Okay, well, maybe you like do like anime and you want to watch like, you want to watch, you know, anime and like in the just like the native forms, you learn Japanese. I don't have a problem with that. There's people that, you know, learn other languages because they like shows or whatever it is in that language, and they want to like, you know, be able to participate, I guess you could say, or like, you know, just, I guess, digest that content way easier. So, like, I don't have a problem with someone learning a language at all to, like, you know, for them to understand some shows or, like, to, you know, learn more about that culture. I think that's actually pretty cool. But obsessing over it in a weird way, yeah, that's where, like, I kind of, my line gets drawn in that regard.
Yeah, so. It's, like, good to enjoy something, but you shouldn't, like, you know, take it too much.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. And yeah, you don't want to become addicted either in that sense, you know, to where like it's interfering with like anything like in life.
And yeah, that goes for anything.
That goes with anything. Basically. Yeah, yeah. So I mean, that's a more extreme case, you know, like I don't see that too much. I do see it. Like, some of the friends I, you know, or people I know on campus are like that, and nothing at all against them at all. They're great people. It's just, I guess, different strokes for different folks, as they say. With that, do you want to wrap it up? I guess we could say we kind of thoroughly covered everything we could.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much, Martin, for coming on the show. It was great to talk some Evangelion and some anime with you.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for like inviting me again. It was a real pleasure to talk about all of this.
Oh yeah. We'll be sure to plug your game, and you know, I will definitely link, you know, the Steam page. I'll link you know, some of the live streams. Link your Twitter page, so everyone can get connected and get informed with what you're up to. So.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'd love to have you back on again, of course, whenever we're ready to do the spoiler discussion of Evangelion.
Yes, we'll geek out about, like, all the details.
Yes, yeah, we would definitely be geeking out for sure. And anyone, you know, that chooses to watch it, you have time. We're definitely going to wait a while. I'd say give it a few months, maybe around summertime. Because there actually is an Evangelion movie coming out this summer. So, you know, that's something to consider. Maybe we do a really nice, you know, spoiler discussion about, like, everything, you know, that's Evangelion. And we kind of have our feast then. So, yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listen to some nerds nerd out about some stuff. You know, I guess that's the beauty of podcasting. You know, we can do that. And there will be someone there hopefully listening and, you know, enjoying it just as much as we are. So, yeah, thank you all for tuning in. I do not know when the next episode will be. I need to get with Jeff and figure that out. I am looking forward to talking with that man about some Star Wars or whatever it is we want to talk about. It's been too long already. And, yeah, we will pick up from there. I'm Tristan.
I was Martin.
Yeah, was.
Okay, I am Martin.
I would hope so.
I is Martin.
I is Martin. Yes. Okay, and with that, guys, we will sign off. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Kanto Cast, and may the Force be with you.